Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. We're going to continue on here. If you've noticed the flowers to my left, your right, they're not for a particular occasion. No one was born, no one died, although Sam Bender got married yesterday, so congratulations to the Benders and all that. But that it was just because Susanna Newman thought we need some more color around here, and better her gift of flowers than, you know, giving me something flowery to wear. So this is great. So thank you very much, Susanna. I'm going to invite Marco to come up. He's got an update for us.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? No? Could you turn up the knob there? The slider, the one that says blue. How's that? Is that better? All right, good, good. Just want to let everyone know that got a call from Bruce from Hope Mission this week, and he informed me that the board decided not to pursue the purchase of the building. And I asked a bit more, like, what was kind of the issue that prevented them from going ahead with it. And he explained that the board only wanted the church building. And as we know, or as it was explained earlier, the Hope Mission is trying to get rid of the church building, but also two properties, residential properties. One was an empty lot, and one was a house. They had done an inspection on the house, and it needs a lot of work. And so the Hope Mission board just felt we don't want to deal with those properties. They just want the church. And Impact is wanting just to get rid of all of it at once. And so, yeah, I just been thinking about, you know, everything's still in God's hands. I don't feel this is a closed door yet unless God is saying, I got something else in for you. And so just wanted to take a moment to pray. Just for direction for Impact Church, whether they would change their mind and allow the church building to be sold by itself, or for Hope Missions Board to change their mind. But right now, I think it's just in Impact's. It's on them to make any change towards that. So if we can just take a moment, and I'll pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your presence here. For your Holy Spirit that guides us. As we process this new news about the Impact building and Hope Mission's decision not to pursue the purchase, we pray that your wisdom and your hand would be with Impact Church, that if it be your will, that they would change their mind to allow just the church building to be sold. We just pray into that. Lord, may we be open and seeking you and your direction, praying into this situation, Lord, that you would guide us with the prayers to speak, but also just the patience, the continued patience to trust you each and every day. Lord, you have plans for us. You have a place for us to be in the future. And so we just continue to give this into your hands. Trust this whole process with you, Lord. May we continue to praise you and glorify you in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Thanks, Marco. You know, we've been praying for a different church in Red Deer each Sunday. So what I'd like to do is actually just continue on in prayer for Impact Church. And I echo and agree with all of Marco's prayers there. But let's also then pray for Impact, that they would be blessed in ways that never trickle back to us. Right? So just sort of the most unselfish blessing we can pray over them. I don't know a lot about their church. I know that they obviously moved out of this building because they have grown and God's been using them and moved to a bigger building. And I do know that some of the youth at Unity at various times have been part of their youth group. So I just want to pray blessings over them and pray that they would have an impact in the city. So would you just join me in prayers for them again? Lord, I echo and agree with Marco's prayers as far as this process goes and our relationship with Hope Mission and how impact's decisions will affect Hope Mission and us. But even aside from those things, the impact is your church. In your city, and I pray that they would live up to their name because you work through your Holy Spirit and you pour out blessings on them. I pray that families would be transformed in Red Deer through this church and how you are at work in Impact Church. Lord, I pray for their leadership, for Pastor Joel and the others on staff, that you would bless them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and guidance, and that you would give them more of you, that as we sang this morning about abiding in you, that their leadership would abide well in you and just find that you pour out blessing and more of yourself in their lives, and that as a result, the city is transformed. Lord, would you transform this city through Impact Church? Would you renew them? Would there be revival and blessings there that trickle all over the city? And I pray it selflessly, that what you do there wouldn't have any necessary repercussions for Unity and blessing, but Lord, would you bless the city through Impact Church? I pray and agree with all of your plans and how you are at work there, and I amen your work, and I just bless our brothers and sisters in this city. Thank you that there is one church, and I pray that you would bring the churches into greater and greater unity and one accord and love for one another, that we would see more of your kingdom come in Central Alberta because your church together worships you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe just one more thing to add regarding the Hope Mission thing. I haven't shared a lot about my own discernment process through this time, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing now. I certainly have wrestled for a whole variety of reasons around developments at various times as we've been working through the offers and potential new location and all of that stuff. And I've been wrestling with it for a long time. And as I was processing some of these things in prayer, as I was coming home from vacation, notice I call this place home, as I was on the airplane coming home from vacation, and I was on the plane, I had my headphones in, and I'm just scribbling in my journal and praying, and I felt like the Lord said, I'm in this. And unbeknownst to my wife, it was a true vacation in the sense that we weren't really talking about church stuff at all. And she definitely didn't know that I was wrestling with these things at all. So I jot in my journal, I believe the Lord's saying, I'm in this. And the following day, Chantel wakes up and says, I had a dream last night about this Hope Mission stuff. In my dream, there's this figure that represented the council, and the council was sort of all in with going ahead with Hope Mission. But you, Ben, were really, really wrestling with it. And then the Lord spoke in the dream and said, I'm in this. He just said what I had heard the day before independently. And I don't know all that I am, what is meant by I am in this. Is it just the process? Is it moving us to this end result? I don't know. And so that's why I've continued to approach these things with open hands, just to say, Lord, like, whatever you want, I've got particular inclinations. I have got preferences. But look, whatever you want, I'll go for whatever you want, and I'm going to trust you that you're in this. So I continue to trust. And you know, it's been this roller coaster up and down and news and waiting and moving forward, and then what the heck, and now this, and it's like, but I know he's in this. Okay? And I know that there's a purpose for it. I don't know what that purpose is yet, but I know he's in it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I bless you in the work that you are doing. I bless you in the work that you're doing here in the room right now. And as we open your scriptures, we know that you are at work as your scriptures are read, because you gave them for these purposes, that we would come to you and have the scriptures point us to Jesus and point us to life, that your spirit will, we know that your spirit will breathe on these scriptures once again and enliven them to us. So Lord, would you get me out of the way, and would you get us out of the way, so that you get to do your thing with freedom here. Lord, I pray for open ears for each one of us, for myself as I begin speaking, for the congregation here, that each one would hear in a particular way what it is that you want us to hear from you, that we may grow more like Jesus, that we may be filled with your spirit, that we may love you more as you deserve, so that you have your way in this city, so that you have your way with the people who are most on our hearts these days. Lord, would you have your way through this time? Open us to you and to your word and to your works. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your Bibles and go to the Psalms, please? I'll give you the Psalm in a minute. The psalm that we are going to be looking at today is what is sometimes called a wisdom psalm. What that means is that you're going to need to read it like you would read the Proverbs. The Proverbs are not always true at every single time and in every single circumstance. A proverb by very definition is something that is often true. It usually works this way. These are generally things that happen, that kind of thing. So it's the same thing now when we go to a wisdom psalm. This is generally how things work. This is often how things work out. This is usually what it is like. I'm not going to keep saying those words along the way. This is my caveat at the beginning. All right? The psalm that we are going to look at today is a psalm that is asking and wrestling with the question, why is it that the people on top in your schools, kids, the people on top in business, the people on top in politics, the people on top in sports, the people on top in media and entertainment and music and the superstars, so often, usually, generally, are not the people following Jesus? I know you're thinking about exceptions, which is why I said to you at the beginning, generally, usually, so put your exceptions aside, this psalm is focusing on, it's usually not the people who are deeply following and loving Jesus. It's usually not the people who have sold out for Jesus that are the richest of the rich, the most powerful, the most influential, the most popular. And the psalmist starts to wrestle with that question. Why is it? Why is it that the people in LA, the people in Hollywood, the people in Nashville, the people at the top of, you know, whatever it is that you want to name, are usually not the people following Jesus? But it's not just far away in LA and Nashville and Hollywood. It's down the street. It's in our very city, right? Why is it that the people who don't love Jesus are the ones with the iPhone 16 Pro Max, whatever, right? The latest Xbox, the 2026 pickup of you name your particular preference. I'm not going to weigh in on that debate between Ford and everything else, right? But why is it that so often it's the people that have the biggest houses, and they're not even hiding how they succeeded? They're the people who are quite open about, yeah, I fudge the truth. Yeah, I lie on my income tax statement. Yeah, I dress this way. Yeah, I use people. Why is it that they so often get ahead and they fudge the truth and sell their bodies and compromise and cut corners and all of that? And then we look at them and we feel this pull. I want what they've got. I want what they've got. And the psalmist recognizes, I think in himself, I've got this pull. I'd like to get ahead, and I can see how they got there. Maybe I should go that way too. That's what's going on in this psalm. Would you go to Psalm 37, please? I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It's 40 verses long. I'm only going to read the first 11. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still and wait. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their evil ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The psalm goes on to talk about the wicked are getting ahead. The righteous are being actually abused by the wicked. And there's this one picture I just want to draw out as well that really emphasizes it in verse 35. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. Why is it that so often the people who are cutting corners to get ahead actually look like they have health and long life, and they have security and prosperity, and they've just been established, and it's not going to change? I have seen it. But then he goes on to say, but he soon passed away, and that wicked man soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. That's what's going on in this psalm. Again and again, what this psalm does is sort of throw up a stop sign to God's people and say, don't envy what they have. Verses 1 and 2. Don't envy these people. Don't even get angry about how they're getting away with doing wrong and reaping benefit from it. Don't envy. Check your hearts. Check your hearts. Don't be lured into something. It's a trap. In fact, the psalmist will say, be careful of envy and anger because they lead to evil. Sometimes they lead to taking things into your own hands. But he says, let God deal with them and trust that God will actually establish you and give you what you desire if you do the right thing. If you wait for God to bless you. Interestingly, the psalmist doesn't say that the things that they want are bad. So if you felt guilt over some of those desires you've had for the latest Xbox, the nicest truck, that kind of thing, it's not automatically bad. The psalmist doesn't say they're wanting the wrong things. He doesn't say that health or security or good food or nice vacations or anything else, those things are bad in and of themselves. He just gives a warning about what they can do to our hearts. In a sense, what he does is he compares them to what I'm going to call silver. They're not gold. They're silver. If I offered you a gold bar and a silver bar of the same size, which one would you take? No matter how much you might prefer the color of silver, I personally prefer the color of silver to the color of gold. I'm smart enough to know I'm going to take that gold, right? Because they are not of equal value. You know the interesting thing about gold? As gold is refined and purified, one of, if not the last thing that is extracted from gold is silver. When you go for gold, you also get silver. That's the point of this song. If you focus on what God calls gold, he will actually bless you with silver. That's the point of the song. I'm going to put some scriptures up on the screen that are going to show it to you to work through parts of the psalm that we didn't work through. Would you? Thank you. There they are. This psalm, over and over again, uses the word inherit or inheritance, and it offers an inheritance. And it always, almost always, in offering the inheritance, says that they will inherit the land. Now, you have to remember, they were offered a promised land, right? That's their inheritance. But within the land are all the things that the land itself offers. It offers, by inheriting land, you automatically inherit prosperity and security, wealth, health, that kind of thing, because that's where they got it. The psalm over and over again offers an inheritance of the land. So would you look at these verses? Who gets to actually receive the inheritance? Verse 9, it's those who hope in the Lord. So which one's gold? Well, what's the gold? Well, the gold is the Lord and the choice to hope in him, and the silver of the land comes. It's the meek, or the humble, in verse 11, who will inherit. Verse 18, it's those with integrity. The word that the NIV uses there is blameless. Blameless doesn't mean perfect. Blameless means that you live with a high degree of integrity. That you don't say one thing and then do another thing. There's an inheritance that the Lord will provide to those who live a life of integrity. It's the stuff we talked about. It does come, but it comes as a result of hoping in God, of living a blameless life, of operating with humility or meekness. Verses 21, 22, and 29 all mention being righteous, that it's righteousness, that living a life of wholeness and walking in God's ways actually brings with it the inheritance that people wanted. But it's because they prized the gold of God and his ways, and the silver came as a result. Again, verse 34, those who hope in the Lord. Verse 27, those who turn from evil and do good inherit the land. Over and over again in this psalm, it seems so obvious and so easy, right? Stop fixing our hearts on the stuff that the world offers. Go for God, and that stuff comes along. Can you think of something Jesus said along those lines? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things follow afterwards. And they will be added to you. So why is it that we We so often, it's like, this isn't new to you. This isn't new to me, and I'm preaching to myself, right? Like, but why is it that so often we get distracted by what I call silver? The Xbox, the new truck, the acreage, the position, the power. Why is it that so often I still have this heart that as much as my head says, I know, seek ye first, I go after the other stuff more. Well, it's why we have been praying these two verses over and over again through the summer. Because there's a work that God needs to do in us. Would you put up the next slide for me, please? It's why we have been praying. It's why we've been praying, will you not revive us again? There's this work that God needs to do in me in order that I will actually love and pursue him and the things that he wants, his priorities. We actually have to pray that God will do the heavy lifting. I don't bring this to the table. I need God's help to do this in my life. It mostly depends on him, but it mostly, not entirely, it mostly depends on him. So that's why we started there, and we had a whole message on this last week. Will you not revive us again? Lord, do your work. Do the heavy lifting. I need your help. Produce this in me. But it's why we have paired it with Psalm 37 too. Because it mostly, but not entirely, depends on him. Scripture, God, in Scripture, God usually still requires that his people take a step. He does the heavy lifting, but he still uses his people to do it, which requires that I actually join him in what he is doing. So it's why we don't wait for God to revive us. We pray that God would revive us. I'm still participating in something. Right? It's a command to pray. It's a command to delight ourselves in the Lord. There's still something we need to do, which is why this Psalm 37:4, tells us, here's the part that you have to do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The more that we delight in gold, the more that silver will come with it. But there's two ways of looking at this verse, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so I preached the first way just a moment ago, right? You delight in gold, the silver is part of it, and that the silver comes with it, right? But there's another way that this verse also, I think, means delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire to delight in him more. It's both the delight in gold, which produces silver, but then it's also the delight in gold, which makes you delight in gold more. And it comes as we take that step. It's a command. Delight yourself. God doesn't automatically just produce this in us. He waits for us to enter into the process, and God still does most of the heavy lifting, but he asks us to take a step. The first step is pray. Will you not revive us again? The first step is find a way to delight yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? How do I learn to love gold more? How do I develop a delight in God? Because it's not going to drop into our laps, I don't think. It'd be worth asking him how. How can I delight in you? I mean, that's not a bad step. But then, get some help. Get some good advice. Find ways that... pay attention to the ways that you have found God producing even like a tiny bit of joy, interest. The smallest part of you that says, I'm drawn to this. What is it about God? What is it about entering into a relationship with him or serving him or worshiping him or being alone with him or doing something for him that where there's something inside of you that says, I think I was made for this. Find those things, even if they're small, and start there. Cultivate it there. And then I bet the Lord will give you the next step. I bet the Lord will actually make good on what this verse says, where if we learn to delight, where he's just starting to produce a little bit of delight, he will add to it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you more delight in him. That's what he offers us. Our desires do change. God can and does produce a change of desire in his people. That's what the verse promises. But change usually comes as the result of a process where we partner with God and take the next step with him. Let me illustrate this. Interestingly, this is the second week in a row where someone has texted me after I have decided on the passage, without their knowing it, text me about the passage, which is just interesting to me. And not only did they text me about the passage, they text me about a story that the two of us have both been reading. So let me tell you about this. Don't put the slide up yet. I'll let you know when I want to get there, but thank you. Let me tell you a story about a woman named Jackie. In the 1960s, Jackie was in her early 20s in Britain. She just finished college to become a music teacher. But she'd had this inkling to become a missionary. And she'd given her life to the Lord, but she was getting stuck. And in her words, she would say, every time I would pray, the Lord would say, go. And I would ask him where, and he would say, go, and I will show you. Go, and I will lead you. And she would say, where, and he would say, go, and I will make it known to you. Like it was becoming a very frustrating cycle in prayer for her. So she went to see a vicar, what she would call an Anglican pastor. And she just explained to him, I have this sense of this call. I think I'm supposed to be a missionary. I keep praying about it, and I keep hearing go and saying where, and go, and I'll show you. So I think I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to help out in your church. And he says to her, I think you should buy a ticket on the slowest boat you can find that's going the furthest distance possible and pray that God show you where to get off. Now, caveat, as I have heard her tell this story later, she does say this was a particular word for her, not general advice for everyone, but just, okay, so back to the story. As he speaks this word to her, there's something inside her that so deeply resonates and says, this is the Lord speaking. And I know that. I think I know that because it's stirring something in me. But I would love to do that. And I always assumed that missionaries were called to suffer. I was expecting a message of go suffer here. She's like, well, I would love to do that. So she does. She buys a ticket and sails all the way to Hong Kong, where the Lord lets her off. And she goes, by the way, without a church backing her or a missions society of any kind backing her. She goes on her own with the Lord as a single woman in her early to mid-20s. What she starts doing there, without knowing any Chinese language, is teaching at a music school, teaching music at a Christian school. But very quickly, she was drawn to the slums. And I'm not talking like the rough alley or two we have here in Red Deer. I am talking about the slums. She was drawn to a place that was called in that area the Walled City. And the Walled City was a city, a group of about a city block of about 6 acres or so, with, you know, high rises and all of this. It was lawless. The triad gangs, so sort of their version of biker gangs, right? Think of Hell's Angels and whatever else. The triad gangs have turf wars here. There's blood and sewage in the streets and no running water and rats that don't run away when you clap your hands and shoo them off. There is every form of evil and vice taking place. 32 opium dens. Heroin houses. Prostitution like I will not even describe. Human trafficking, gambling. The Walled City was a place where the police avoided. The people went to the Walled City to commit crimes or get away from crimes that they committed. So Jackie goes thinking she's going to teach music, loves music, loves kids, starts teaching in school, but finds herself going to the Walled City. And she says that the second time that I went into that place, it was a sense of joy that came out in me that you'd have to think of in terms of, like, if someone had said happy birthday to you, or if someone had told you that you were beautiful, or if you had the sense of being in love. She had this a joy sort of parallel to those things, and she didn't know why until she realized it's when I enter this place of darkness. And she started teaching first at a school in the Walled City for the children of the addicts. And over time, her heart and her ministry shifted from music and children to working with addicts, ministering to the gangsters, helping people get off drugs, helping those in the slavery of human trafficking, working with those in prison. But she didn't go to Hong Kong to work with addicts and slums. That wasn't a passion of hers that she brought with her from Britain. But it was the step of obedience and allowing the Lord to produce changes in her because she stepped out in obedience. She just took the next step and then another, and God changed her heart toward a place of darkness, toward the people who she should minister to, towards her, even like her passions. It pushed her deeper with God so that she cried out for more of the Spirit so that people would meet Jesus and be set free from addiction and healed and find hope. And her prayers were answered on a scale I hesitate even to mention. We're talking thousands and thousands of lives transformed, set free from addiction, thousands and thousands of people led to Jesus. She writes about it. You can put it up on the screen now. She writes about it in this book called Chasing the Dragon. And I'll share probably more about this book another time. I read this book this summer, and I finished it one afternoon, and started it again later on that afternoon. Like it just resonated with me so much. I was so deeply challenged and inspired by it. But what I want to, the point that I want to draw out right now is that she delighted in God and then took a step. And God, in the process, transformed her desires. And then she loved and pursued more of God, and she found joy in the process. And the result was actually an inheritance. When you talk about thousands and thousands of people's lives forever transformed by the gospel. So now do you see that, like, delight yourself in the Lord is an offer of gold. It comes with silver, but ultimately there's an inheritance here, like, that we want to step into. That's what this psalm is offering us. So that's why we pray, will you not revive us again? That's why we pray, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. That it's why we have to say, Lord, give me my next step. Because I believe your word. And I believe what you will do through people who simply delight in you and take the next step. So let's pause. Would you close your eyes and just go before the Lord? Lord, what's my next step? Delighting in you. Lord, I pray that you would guide us. That the scripture we probably sang, so many of us as small children, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Lord, we have known and recognized and acknowledged that truth for so long, but day by day we so often find ourselves seeking the things you say you will add, and sometimes leaving off the pursuit of the kingdom, or trying to pursue both equally. So Lord, will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you, in the King and the kingdom, that gold would truly be gold for us, that we would truly believe you for an inheritance, but an inheritance that comes by way of pursuing you, of delighting ourselves in you. So Lord, would you speak to us, not only now and not only today, but throughout this week and beyond, that we would take the next little tiny step of fostering a delight and a love for Jesus. And find you reordering our desires, that we may love you even more, and that all these things would find their proper place next to Jesus, after Jesus. May Jesus be first. Come, Holy Spirit, would you renew and revive our hearts? For Jesus' sake. Amen. There's an inheritance that's being offered to us, and it doesn't come apart from what we just sang there. There's nothing apart from Jesus. Go deeper with Jesus. If you need help going deeper with Jesus, if you feel like you're stuck and you want prayer, hey, happy to pray for you or point you in the right direction. Love to hear how Jesus is stirring something in you as well. Share those things with me, with us, so that we can encourage one another to abide and go deeper and receive all that he offers us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you more of himself. He is your inheritance. Enjoy him. Go in peace, friends. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.